May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the gospel reading from Luke chapter 16. You may be seated. Dear saints, in our Sunday morning Bible study, we've been studying the book of Exodus. That's also a shameless advertisement. If you haven't been able to join us for that, I encourage you to do so. You can jump in at any time. Recently, we've been talking about the amazing things that the Israelites witnessed, what they saw with their eyes and heard with their ears. They had front row seats to see the glory and the power of God. They saw the plagues. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. They saw manna raining down from heaven. They saw water coming out of a rock. And then they saw and heard the glory of the Lord on Mount Sinai. Certainly, those things would have inspired their confidence, their boldness, their trust in the Lord. God could do all those things. Surely, He is on their side as Savior, and they would naturally want to follow His commands. Or so we would assume. Didn't always work out that way. There is a connection to all of those things that the Israelites saw in the book of Exodus, and the parable that Jesus presents for us in the gospel reading this morning. We'll get to that in a moment, but first let's summarize the parable. Jesus gives no real introduction to it, but it's clearly connected to the parable we meditated on last week, that of the unjust steward or the shrewd manager. Both of these parables are directed, at least initially, at the proper use of material blessings, those things that God gives us. As we heard in our epistle reading, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Or to put it bluntly, don't love money. Instead, use it for service in God's kingdom and to help your neighbor. In today's parable, there is an unnamed rich man who clearly has no regard for the poor. In fact, poor, crippled, full of sores, Lazarus is laying right outside of his door, and he doesn't even so much as give him a crumb that falls from his table. He has more than enough to help Lazarus out, but he doesn't do so. And this inaction by the rich man is actually symptomatic of the condition of his heart. His lack of regard for his neighbor betrays the reality that he has no regard for the will of the Lord. Simply, there is no faith in him. Upon their deaths, the tables are turned. The rich man is in the torment of hell, and Lazarus is with Abraham in the bliss of heaven. Did you notice that we hear Lazarus' name, but we never hear the name of the rich man? Doesn't matter. His name isn't written in the book of life as Lazarus's is. And he is experiencing the rebuke of Jesus. I never knew you. Of course, the rich man now realizes what his life should have been, but it's too late. And still thinking of himself, he longs for Lazarus to dip his finger in some water so that he may have some relief from the fire he's experiencing. But eventually, he starts to think about those he has left behind. He doesn't want his brothers to wind up where he is, so he pleads with Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead to warn them, to convince them to change their ways and to repent and trust in the Lord. He's asking for his brothers to be given a sign that they would not be able to ignore. A sign so miraculous that his brothers couldn't help but repent. And this is where we see the link with the events of Exodus. Great signs and wonders were done by God through Moses. Everything the people needed was provided for. often in a supernatural way. And Jesus came doing signs and miracles, and the people then were equally amazed. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, do these things, does seeing these signs produce genuine faith? And if not, how is it produced? How will the rich man's brothers come to faith? How will they trust in God? The desire to see signs is no different today. Scarcely a day goes by when I don't see some posting on Facebook like this: if you need God to bless your finances this month, say amen. A big check is coming your way. Type amen to claim it. Or one I saw this week: exactly 2 hours from now, that phone you are holding will ring for good news. Affirm yes. All of these as if to say, Lord, give me a sign, bless me materially, show me something so that I can believe in you. But as Jesus said, this generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. Or as Abraham tells the rich man in our gospel reading, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And the rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes back from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. There you have it. Sign that the rich man requests. It won't work. Instead, his brothers need to listen. To listen to the word of God as contained in the books of Moses and the prophets, namely the Old Testament. If they're unwilling to listen to the word of God, then it doesn't matter if someone comes back from the dead. The sign won't be of any use. In Exodus, the people of Israel departed from the ways of God frequently. They doubted, they grumbled, they cursed Moses, even though they saw firsthand in their own lifetimes, in matters of months, the mighty signs of the Lord. Many didn't believe. They didn't trust his words. And so it was during the time of Jesus. Many who saw the miracles didn't believe because many found the words of the Lord to be hard and difficult to listen to. Their hearts were stubborn, and they would not believe. May it not be true of us. And in our day, we have the testimony of the eyewitnesses, the testimony of those who literally saw someone rise from the dead. Oh, yes, the people that Jesus raised and that the apostles raised, but most importantly, Jesus, who himself rose from the dead in a way that was the final direct sign. People today are stubborn and refuse to believe. The signs are more than sufficient. If the signs don't produce faith, then what does? If even we should not expect to receive more supernatural signs until our Lord's return, then by what is our faith strengthened? Christian faith, Christian doctrine, rests upon the historical fact and the reality that a man, Jesus Christ, died on a Roman cross to atone for your sin and for mine, and literally, physically, rose from the dead on the third day. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and was vomited up on the shore, so our Lord rested in death for 3 days, and the grave could not hold him. He rose from the dead. This is your sign. We believe the sign because we trust what the Word of God says. It is the Spirit of God at work in you through his Word, at work in you, producing and sustaining faith, calling you to repentance, reminding you to trust in the mercy and grace of our Lord. If you cut yourself off from that Word, You cut yourself off from the means through which God wishes to speak to you. You and I are not eyewitnesses of the resurrection. But Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Or as Jesus prays for us in John chapter 17, I ask also for those who will believe in me through their word, that is, the words, the eyewitness accounts of the apostles. Just as it was the word of God that worked faith in the Israelites in Moses' day, just as it was the word of God that worked faith in all the Old Testament patriarchs and people, just as it was the word of God that worked faith in the apostles and those to whom Jesus preached, so it is the word of God that works faith in you. We are those who do hear the words of Moses and the prophets and the apostles. That is Jesus himself. We are those who do believe that someone rose from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. But how often are we like the rich man, doubting that the word of God is sufficient? Look around us, see a world in chaos. Look around our church, we see empty pews, and we wonder why the word isn't enough. We look at bare bones budgets that we seem to barely be able to eke out, and we wonder, why isn't the word enough? And some will be tempted to soften the law when it's preached. They'll say it's not the church's job to call out sin. That's very unpopular. It's not the church's job to call to repentance. It might offend somebody, denying the clear word of God. Some will turn the church's ministry of word and sacrament into a ministry of works and social programs, claiming that one is saved by what they do, or by how much faith a person has, or saved by what we see in their works. And if we cast aside the word, how can we as God's people know what's true? How can we know his will? How can we overcome the false prophets and the schemers of this generation, so that we do not wander off into myths or become tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes? Only by God's mercy and grace, and by clinging to his word, only by knowing what Scripture says, only by regularly hearing the word of God. We are called to hear the words of Moses and the prophets and the apostles because they are God's words. And in God's word, we are directed to other signs, signs that are only recognized by you, the Christian. For God's word declares, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, baptism. And God's word tells us, take and eat, this is my body, and take and drink, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. What is meant by hearing Moses and the prophets and the apostles? To believe what they say. To recognize our own sin. To trust the mercy of God through the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And to avail ourselves of that mercy through word and sacrament. May it be so among us. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.